The first reading appointed for the ascension of our Lord is written in Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our graduate. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. The second reading is written in Ephesians chapter 1. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward those, toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he was raised, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to Christ. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. From Psalm 47, which served as our introit, "Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy." and from Luke 24. And the disciples worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. That's for our text. The hymns that we sing for the ascension of our Lord have a certain joyful and yet stately royal quality to them. And that is proper and fitting, as it is befitting the celebration of the inauguration of a president, or more accurately, a coronation of a king. For the ascension of our Lord is the occasion of his enthronement, the coronation of Jesus on the throne of God in heaven. Something significant is happening with this event, and our music reflects that. But before Jesus ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, he preached one last sermon to his disciples. And in this sermon, he explains the significance of this event. For they are there to witness this for a purpose, namely that they may tell others what all of this is about. And so Jesus explains to his disciples that everything he taught them came true. Everything written about him in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms were indeed fulfilled in Jesus. The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms make up the Old Testament. So Jesus is saying that the entire Old Testament is about him. It prophesies of what Jesus would do. And so with this, the story that we have heard again all this church year comes to its climax with this event. The one promised from Genesis 3 after the very first sin is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who came in the fullness of time is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who was laid in a manger is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one circumcised on the eighth day to fulfill the whole law of God is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who fled to Egypt is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who obeyed his parents is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one baptized by John is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who laid his hand on lepers and cured them is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who healed the sick is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who gave sight to the blind is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who gave hearing to the deaf is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who forgave sinners is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who welcomed and ate with the outcasts is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who embraced the lonely is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who cast out demons is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who changed water into wine is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who fed the 5,000 is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who walked on water is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who provided miraculous catches of fish is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who preached good news to the poor is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who prayed for you is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who was betrayed, arrested, and unjustly tried, was spit upon, hit, and whipped, is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who was denied by his followers is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who carried his cross is now ascended and enthroned on high, the one forsaken on the cross by God his Father, is now ascended and enthroned on high at the right hand of the Father. The one who forgave from the cross is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who bowed his head and died is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one laid in a borrowed tomb, but that tomb could not hold, is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who entered through locked doors to give his disciples peace is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who walked the road to Emmaus is now ascended and enthroned on high. The one who fulfilled all the scriptures is now ascended and enthroned on high. And this is all, every last bit of it, good news for us poor, miserable sinners. For it means that all in his life, death and resurrection, has been accomplished according to what God had promised, which is for our salvation, our rescue from sin, death, and the devil. And by his life, death, and resurrection, and now ascension into heaven and enthroned on high, he reigns for all eternity, Christ our brother there. However, as he brings all of this to its fulfillment, he does not ascend because he is done. And this is a very important point about the ascension of our Lord. Rather, he ascends to continue his work for you and for all, that he might bring all people through death to resurrection and to the Father like he has gone. And that is why Luke wrote in his first book that he dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up. Did you notice that? All that Jesus did in his life, death, and resurrection, while it was the fulfillment of all that the Old Testament promised about him, and he did it all, it was only just the beginning. Now, Luke says, his second book, that's the book of Acts, will be a description of the work of Jesus that is ongoing after his ascension. Only now he will work through his church. Now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he will send to his church. But he will not stop. Jesus will not stop preaching and calling and healing and forgiving and rising. He will just no longer do this while walking on this earth. Now he will do it from the right hand of God, enthroned on high. And the disciples understood this. There were a great many things that they did not understand, but this they certainly understood. And that's very clear, because that's why Luke tells us that after Jesus ascended, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were not sad that their teacher and friend had left them. They were filled with joy that he was now enthroned on high and would be with them and working for them, but in a new way, a better way. For Jesus would now not only be present in Jerusalem or Palestine, Galilee or Samaria, but every place that his word is preached and his forgiveness is given. Every font, every pulpit, every altar, every bedside, every nursing home, every hospital, every dining room or kitchen table, every place his word is preached and his forgiveness given, there is the power of God. There is Jesus and his Spirit coming from the right hand of God enthroned on high, still touching and healing and giving life. Which is part of what Jesus was talking about to his disciples on the night that he was betrayed, as we heard in our gospel reading just two Sundays ago from John 16. where Jesus told his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And the apostles see this right away. 10 days after Jesus' ascension, he sends them the Holy Spirit, just as he promised. And Peter and the 11 preach, and people hear, and hearing, they are baptized. Over 3,000 souls that very first day, which is why it's commonly observed as the birth of the Christian church. But it wasn't because of the disciples, but through them and the blessing of the Spirit upon them that Jesus was still working with great power. Same as he always was, only now even more and even greater. So it is that just as truly as when Jesus walked this earth and did all those things, so as he has ascended and enthroned on high, he is doing them now for you through the word and sacrament ministry of his church on earth. And that's why Paul prayed for the Ephesians that they too would know this, that they would know the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. We need that prayer too, because it's so easy to forget, so easy to doubt, so easy to disbelieve. Because it so often seems that it is the opponents of Jesus and his truth that have the greatest power. Those who seek to overthrow the church. Those who are seeking to undermine the truth. Those who say that good is evil and evil is good. Those who deny God and his word. They are the ones who seem to be winning in this world. Just look around. It doesn't seem that the church has much power at all. Just words and things called sacraments and sinners who so often fail in our lives, in our confession, and in our prayers. But this is the great importance of the ascension of Jesus for the church and why we need the ascension of Jesus. For at the right hand of God, enthroned on high, there is nothing greater than he or stronger than he. Though we may not always be able to see it, he is enthroned and using his power still. Yes, the one who is enthroned on high is ruling all things for his church. The one who is enthroned on high is forgiving your sins. The one who is enthroned on high is protecting you from the evil one. The one who is enthroned on high is disciplining you to strengthen and keep you. The one who is enthroned on high is sending his angels to watch over you. The one who is enthroned on high is feeding you and washing you. The one who is enthroned on high is answering your prayers. The one who is enthroned on high is comforting the troubled and worried and doubtful. The one who is enthroned on high is building his church, even though persecution, even through persecution and hardship. It is easy to doubt, though, when we see the church persecuted, when we see her divided and struggling and shrinking, when we see the church marginalized and considered non-essential. And I don't just mean this last year by the government, but for many years by so many who have been baptized, but rarely darken the door. Celebration, enthronement, coronation, the reigning of our King seems so very different from the reality that we see. But that's how it is with life under the cross, for we have not yet ascended. But as the colic we prayed tonight said, we ascend in heart and mind. That means we see the cross of Jesus and the cross that we live under now, but we also see through the cross to the reality that is for now unseen, that just as he has risen, ascended, and is enthroned on high, so too that is what awaits us. And know that through the cross, the kingdom is being restored yet in this world. The new Israel is growing. The kingdom is advancing, led by Jesus at the right hand of the Father through his Spirit, by his word and sacraments given all over the world, given here to you, that you be and remain with him, and he with you, until he physically comes again to take you to his glory. And he will. For he didn't ascend for himself. He ascended and is enthroned on high for you, that your human nature be where his human nature is forever. That just as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, so shall you with him, just as he promised, and God always fulfills his promises. As Jesus explained to his disciples, and they believe it. That's why the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and that's our joy too this night. So today really is a day of great celebration, a day to rejoice and be glad. So let us sing with joy our stately ascension hymns, like his disciples did that first ascension. For Christ has ascended and is enthroned on high with shouts of joy. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, here in time and unto life everlasting. Amen.